You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
To start off, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
I'm Bill Mackay. I'm a lecturer in the School of Architecture and Planning at University of Auckland.
To start off, what is universal design?
Universal design, most people have heard about, what people call disabled access or accessibility or, things like that, ramps, wider doors, bigger car parking spaces. But universal design is the idea that we apply a whole lot of other design principles to just make the world a little bit easier to negotiate for all of us.
So why would universal design be a more preferable method than, say, just creating more access points and entry points for mobility device users or differently abled people?
There is this assumption that people who are disabled are in wheelchairs, but there's a whole spectrum of people. Way before you end up in a wheelchair, you may be walking around with a knee where you need a knee replacement or something like that. So you're walking with a stick. You may be a very young kid, or you may be old and fit and healthy, but you just have much more of an issue just coping with the world. So it's back to that people understanding that there's a broad spectrum of people who are less able, not just people in wheelchairs.
So are there any limitations preventing more buildings in Aotearoa from adopting universal design infrastructure?
Yeah, the attitude of developers, designers and builders. Number one, they're trying to cut costs. But my example of the door handle, the lever versus the knob, there's almost no cost difference in there. Another good example is in houses, just making all doors a little bit wider so that you could, say, if you're in your 60s and you move into an apartment or a house, you may end up in a wheelchair at some stage, in the next 10 or 20 years or so. So if all those doors, to the bathroom, to your bedroom and all of that were just a little bit wider, you could easily get that wheelchair in there. But that's not the case in most houses and apartments. So to make a door slightly wider, there is a cost implication. It will be a little bit more expensive, but it's a bit like the idea of paying a little bit more up front and getting the quality that will last much longer.
So how would you say most buildings in Aotearoa hold up when it comes to ensuring accessibility for people with different mobility needs?
Pretty poor. Another good example is even when you're required to, put in a ramp next to some steps or a small lift or something, a lot of developers, designers, owners, builders, they'll stick it around the back. And that just makes people feel like second-class citizens, If you're on crutches or in a wheelchair or, something like that, your friends can walk up a couple of steps, but you have to go all the way around the back of the building and come in. And I just don't think that's very pleasant for anyone. And there are examples of this all over the place as well, especially in bars and restaurants, but I've also seen it in schools as well.
So, final question. How would you say accessibility standards hold up in Aotearoa, New Zealand, when compared to other developed or similar nations?
They're actually pretty good, in my opinion, but they only apply to schools, offices, apartment buildings and, all sorts of things like that. They don't apply to the inside of houses. So even in an apartment building, it needs to be accessible right up to your front door. But then once you're in your front door, forget about it. So I think that's why we need to pay more attention to ideas of aging in place, universal design, that kind of thing, rather than just going, I comply with the building code, that's it, game over.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.